Welcome to this conversation with Nick Williams. I'm Art Geiser. I'm the creator of Energetic NLP, and I'm really thrilled to be doing this conversation with my friend, colleague, and somebody that I admire, Nick Williams. And Nick is a best-selling author. He's a broadcaster. He is the founder of the Inspired Entrepreneur Organization in London. And more than anything, I think Nick is a man on a mission. I mean, you hear that about people, but Nick is really on a mission. And his mission is for people to get out of the old models of work and career that were based on the idea that the harder you work and the more you kind of suffer through your work, the more noble it is. And helping us move to a place where work is really seen as something that's an authentic expression of our spirit. Not because it's wrong to do work that isn't an authentic expression of our spirit, but because we live in a time where it's so possible to do that, and it's so gratifying to each individual when they do work that's authentic to their spirit, and it's always a big contribution to the world and to other people. And Nick has many books on the subject. I'm currently finishing one of his books on the business you were born to create, and it's really, really wonderful. And I'm not overly effusive with my praise of things. And I know how good a book is by how much I underline and highlight and mark things. And luckily, I'm reading Nick's book electronically, because if it was a physical book, it would be a mess, because I have it marked up with notes all over and things highlighted and little notes like, oh, yeah, use this or quote this or do this or think about this. So that's really the best praise I can give to a book, is when I feel like almost everything in it is important and notable. And I'm very excited. In the post on its way to me now is Nick's newest book, and I'll have him talk about that and really much, much, much more. So it's really my pleasure to introduce my friend and colleague, Nick Williams. So welcome, Nick.
Wow, thank you for that lovely introduction. I'm blown away, so thank you. I really appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure. And by the way, I want all of your books to be on Kindle so that I can mark them up easily. So that's my request.
Great. Okay. Well, I think four of them are now, so there's three to go.
Well, get going. So what's the title of your newest book, Nick?
It's called Resisting the Soul. And it's a book about resistance, because I wrote a book about 7 years ago called How to Be Inspired, and my first book about 13 years ago was called The Work We Were Born to Do. And, you know, my work has very much always been about helping people access a sense of inspiration, because I think inspiration is obviously inspired by love, really. And I think, you know, inspiration is the most direct route to our soul. But I think what I noticed both in myself and in so many people that I've worked with is, In a way, it's kind of easy to get inspired. You know, that's not always that difficult. Many of us get inspired. But what I've noticed is there's a secondary force that kicks in, and I think most of us can relate to this, that as soon as we do access a sense of inspiration, our life purpose, you know, an awakening to why we're really here on this planet at this time, usually there's fears and there's doubts and there's questioning and there's often, you know, self-attack even and self-judgment that comes in, you know, seconds, minutes, hours, or days after the inspiration, and that secondary force I've come to call resistance. So, you know, I've struggled with my own resistance over the last 20 years. You know, if I hadn't managed to overcome it, I'd still be in a corporate job and probably be a very unhappy person now. So I've learned a lot about it myself. I've learned a lot from helping thousands of other people kind of understanding and move through it. So the latest book is really my contribution to illuminating the kind of hidden workings of resistance, to kind of expose it, really, so that we can go, so that's what it is, and get people beyond it, really, and step into their spiritual, you know, grandeur, their greatness, and the reason why I think, you know, we're here on this planet at this time.
Well, when I first heard you say the name of your new book, I was really thrilled, because, as you know, in my own programs, that's one of the topics we work on a lot, is resistance and clearing resistance. And how do you clear resistance without resisting resistance? Resistance is a huge and amazing topic, and it may surprise some of the people listening. It's actually even an enjoyable topic. And so, maybe you could, for people, maybe this is a new idea, maybe you can talk a little bit about how do you define something? What is resistance, And then it may be even more interesting question, where does it come from, or why is it there, or does it have a spiritual purpose? Or what are your thoughts on resistance?
One of the ways I've come to think of resistance, well, just take one step backwards. I suppose my mindset, you know, my way of looking at the world is I do believe that each of us is a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, you know, we're here in a physical experience with a personality that seems to be separate. So I think resistance is of our separated personality, if you like, you know, our ego. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It just exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the distinction I usually make for me, which really helps me kind of understand it and often helps a lot of people understand it a bit more fully, is that resistance is a secondary force. It's not a primary force.
Mm.
So one of the ways I've come to think of it, and I just love this way of expressing it, is that our resistance is our ego's petty response to something magnificent stirring in our soul. You know, so something awakens in us. We go, you know, I want a more meaningful life. You know, I want to make a difference. I want to show up in the world. I want to do something beyond my fears. I want to share my love and creativity with the world in some way. As soon as you start having those kind of thoughts, resistance is likely to follow them.
Mm.
So I think I just like this idea of really recognizing that it's only a response to something great. So I almost then begin to reframe it and go, the fact that you're in resistance means that there's something great stirring in you. Or, you know, I think there's something great in everybody, but the something great is awakening and stirring in you. Because if there weren't resistance, there'd just be indifference.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the fact that we're resisting shows there's juice there. And you know Julia Cameron, don't you? The writer
do.
Of the Answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very blessed to get to attend a workshop of hers in London last year and got to have a little 10 or 15 minute chat with her. And, you know, something she explained to me, and I recorded the conversation, people can see it on my blog, is she said that the level of our resistance equates to the level of creative energy that we will have available as we unblock ourselves.
Oh, I like that.
And I just thought, wow. You know, so in a way, all resistance is our ego trying to hide, mask, subjugate, distract us from the level of loving, creative energy that is within us.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, carry on. Yeah. No, it's all right. Carry on. Ask a question.
I was going to say, I like both the quote from Julia and the other things that you're saying very much, because people often treat resistance like it shouldn't exist, or it's a bad thing, or it's a bad sign. And it's like when I coach people about giving presentations, people go, well, I don't want to be nervous before the presentation. And I'll go, most of the great speakers are nervous before a presentation.
Yeah.
You actually can channel that energy. That lets you know you're up to something. And,
sure.
You know, if a person's not feeling any resistance, it means either they're just, you know, amazingly evolved and clear and whatever, or they're just playing a small game.
Yeah, sure. So you're right. You know, I say that, you know, in a way I struggled for years similarly thinking, well, I think, you know, the point I'd make here is do not perceive resistance as a character defect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for years I kind of really was quite hard on myself thinking, how come every time I get inspired, I then, you know, distract myself, I procrastinate, I come up with excuses, I keep myself busy, you know, how come, what's wrong with me? You know, so I think a bottom line for many of us is we go, what's wrong with us?
Mm-hmm.
And then really that just feeds the resistance, and even the idea of what's wrong with us is a form of resistance, I think. You know, I certainly did my years of self-torture and self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's wrong with me? You know, I could be doing so much. I've got so much talent, and yet I don't go as far as I could with it. All that stuff. So number one is really just to accept that if you're a human being in a body, I think you're going to have resistance.
Well, I have to say, if I'd have heard that message 20, 30 years ago, it would have completely transformed my life.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think like most people, you know, I got critical of myself, or thought I'm defective, or what is this, what is that, rather than just going, human reaction, it's part of the spiritual journey. In fact, I remember many years ago when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, and whether somebody listening liked him or not, one of the things he did as president, and I was really busy. I was doing a lot of corporate consulting, and I wasn't exercising because I didn't have time to exercise. And I'm watching the news, and there's Bill Clinton jogging. And he was doing it all the time. It wasn't just like a photo thing. I mean, he was exercising regularly. And I looked at him, and I thought, you know, I am not busier than the president of the United States.
Yeah, your speeches don't quite stand up.
There's something else going on here.
So I think you're right. You know, the first thing is really just to be kind to ourselves, you know, because, you know, if we, again, take it back a step, you know, I think one of the ways that resistance works is by keeping itself unconscious. As I was writing my latest book, I was doing just a bit of research, and I came across by a quote by Freud, you know, the founder of psychoanalysis. Mm-hmm. And he said something very simple and very plain, but it really kind of hit me between the eyes. He said, the purpose of psychoanalysis is to make the unconscious conscious. And I'd never thought of psychoanalysis like that. But, you know, I think one of the ways that resistance operates is by we don't even know that we're doing it. We just think we're living a sensible life. We just think we're being sensible and we're taking care of ourselves and putting defenses up and taking care of our business and all those kind of things. So I think there can almost be a, you know, like a shocking revelation where we go, oh, actually, this is my fear running me. I thought I was being sensible, but actually the more I realize that I'm actually, it's my fear that's behind all this. So, you know, the bottom line is I think all resistance is fear. So, you know, if you're a human being, you're going to have fear. But I think what I've observed is that fear is quite clever. I don't think fear is wise particularly, but I think it's very clever. And what fear does is it doesn't usually show itself as fear. So, you know, anybody listening to this that's, say, in a corporate job that's going, you know, I'm really well paid, but I'd love to do something more meaningful. And as soon as you had that thought, your resistance will kick in and go, but, you know, in the middle of a recession, you're going to leave your corporate secure job, start your own. You've never done this before. You know, so it appears to be very sensible. So I almost say, look, resistance is fear with a PR agency attached to it. So it kind of, you know, it puts a positive spin. It's like, you know, no, you're not being fearful, you're being sensible. No, it really makes sense not to do that now. Yeah, go on a few more courses and study, and in a couple of years' time when you've got more letters after your name, then start at what it is you want to do. So it all sounds very plausible. But I think what we have to really understand that resistance is almost like, you know, it's an abuser. It kind of gains your trust, but then abuses you once it's got your trust. Because I don't think it really does have your best interests at heart. I think it has its own best interests at heart. And going back to one of your initial questions, you know, what is resistance? I think it's just our ego wanting to stay in charge. It's our small, fearful sense of identity wanting to run the show. You know, I don't know what analogy you'd use in the States, but in the UK we talk about civil servants, and you know, the civil servants don't necessarily want to do things right, the right things. They just want to do things right. So I almost see resistance as the ego just wanting to keep itself in business. You know, it doesn't really know why it wants to stay in business. It just wants to stay in business. It doesn't want to dissolve. It just wants to keep going. So, you know, I think we're in this constant, you know, sometimes it feels like a battle between our soul that just wants to express itself and expand, and our resistance that wants to hold us back and keep us small, afraid, and little.
Well, it's, you know, that battle between the two is what I'm sure everybody listening to can relate to. And I know from the perspective that I work with an energetic NLP, there's another factor that can come in, which is that sometimes the resistance really isn't even your own. It's literally programming you've absorbed from other people, and it operates so unconsciously that you just don't notice it's there, and you don't realize that it's like one example, and I've found this in a lot of clients too, depending on your family background and what part of the world you were from, but it's really... it can be for anybody from anywhere. A lot of us, our families learn through time that you didn't want to stand out, that if you stood out, you were in trouble, that people would want what you had, or they'd get jealous, or they might attack you or kill you or rob you. And so I'm aware sometimes there's enormous energy. Well, I've cleared a lot of it now. There used to be enormous energy in my space. It was like, oh, don't stand out. Don't be seen. Don't be too successful. which, of course, yep. if you're in the public eye like you and I are, it's not a very good energy to have in your space.
No, you know, I have a little expression that usually makes people smile. I said, you know, for the first few years of my business, I had a strategy which I realized wasn't going to be successful, and my strategy was sitting at home waiting to be discovered. you know, and I thought, well, you know, if I'm really that good, people will find me. You know, they'll seek me out. Because I, like you, had that same programming, which is, you know, don't show off, don't make yourself visible. You know, if you're really good, that good, people will seek you out and they'll see your genius and they'll hire you. And I think that's the challenge for so many of us. And I think obviously one of the, you know, you've hit on it there, is one of the biggest areas of resistance for most of us is being public, is being visible, is stepping into some kind of leadership, you know, loving spiritual leadership in the world and really wanting to make a difference. That's, you know, to be honest, that's the area of my life where I've most experienced resistance, is anything that I've done that is somehow to move beyond my own separate need, if you like, my own, you know, individual need to do something of greater love and service in the world, whether that's writing, whether that's speaking, whether that's running workshops. Every time I've done that, I've encountered a level of resistance, from kind of mild to, at times, what feels like chronic, debilitating resistance, you know, stuff that I feel like, you know what, I don't feel like I'm ever going to get beyond this. But I feel like, you know, you're right, and I would say that, you know, that whole idea that so much, you know, so easy to talk about the ego and our personality, and I don't want to kind of give it too much power, but I also think we mustn't underestimate, you know, the levels at which it operates. You know,
I've been on
a personal growth journey for like 26 years now. And I'm just constantly amazed, almost on a daily basis, by how much I still become aware of stuff that runs me, that I didn't even know was running me. So part of me finds that exciting, to think, you know, every day holds the possibility of liberation, but it can also be depressing on other days where you think, my God, there's no end to this crap that I've inherited.
But I did workshop last night for something called the New Wealth Experience, and that was one of the questions that came up from somebody, was about, gee, I'm surprised I had so many blocks left on this subject. It's amazing how many layers and layers and layers of resistance there can be. And what I like about your message, and it's similar to my own, is that when people understand, that's not bad or wrong. That's that resistance, and in fact, there's a saying from Lao Tzu, and I apologize if I'm not saying the name correctly. The Chinese philosopher said, "What's in the way is the way." And all of these resistances are avenues of spiritual growth and personal growth and exploration. And I think one of the biggest things is when people go from making themselves wrong for having resistance to going, well, that's interesting, and what's that about, and what happens when I explore that rather than get afraid of it?
And again, I think you're right there, and you know, one of the things I really encourage people to do, and this is probably more than anything has been a kind of cause of my own kind of impact and success in the world, is, you know, I think one of the ways resistance operates is it says, well, when you've cleared enough issues, then you'll be ready to show up in the world. You know, and to me, it's about crossing some kind of threshold, and it's not just crossing it once. For me, it's been crossing it hundreds, if not thousands of times, that there will never be a resistance-free day, or very rarely is there going to be a resistance-free day. Every day I have to summon a degree of courage, if you like, you know, a fire in my heart. And I think there must have come a threshold for me, I'm guessing, you know, maybe about 12, 13 years ago, where I think it may have been around the time I signed the contract to write my first book, because I knew that would be, you know, that would alter the trajectory of my life. And I think the threshold that I crossed was somehow, you know, I thought to myself, I could be in therapy forever, I could do personal growth work forever, and I'd probably never run out of stuff to work on. But do I want to wait until I show up in the world, until I feel ready? Or am I ready? Am I willing to show up and heal as I go? And I think for me, I crossed some kind of threshold that said, you know what, I would rather make trying to help other people more important than attacking myself. And for me, that was a kind of threshold moment where I went, you know, so many people have touched my life. I've had so many wonderful people in my life that have made a difference to me. And a lot of people are beginning to tell me that I have an impact on them. So if there's a way I can contribute to life, I'm going to make contributing to life more important than my own self-consciousness.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many of us feel that, you know, there's an impulse in our heart, there's an impulse from our spirit, our essence that says, you know, we're here to contribute. But then when we think that to ourselves, you know, then that's when the resistance kicks in and goes, well, who wants to listen to you? There's already enough writers, speakers, mm-hmm. healers, coaches out in the world. Nobody's going to want to listen to you, you know, all that stuff comes up. I cross that threshold and I have to keep crossing it. But I think, you know, for me, a desire and an impulse and just a longing to be of service to life is the thing that gets me through my resistance today. And knowing that every time I get across it, I'm a little bit freer. I've liberated myself just a little bit more.
That's fantastic. And that, you know, I hope people listening, you know, if they'll can just adopt that attitude that these challenges, these resistances, are a part of our life journey. They're not what's in the way. It's exploring them is part of what we seem to be doing. And
yeah. But in a way, yeah, every bit of resistance does actually hold a gift. I tend to see it as like, you know, a dragon standing at the cave door. But in the cave is a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So every bit of resistance is pointing the way to another treasure. So it's like that's the downfall of the ego in a way. Is like, well, if there wasn't resistance, you know, there wouldn't be a gift. And resistance means as a gift. Otherwise, the ego would not stand there trying to hide you from it.
No, I think that's really profound, and I think that when we can look at it that way, then we can have joy and resourcefulness and creativity in dealing with those resistances rather than shame or discouragement. That we can realize that I'm going, well, boy, when I explore this, lots of really good things are going to happen. My life will change significantly.
Yeah, your life is going to expand. But again, you know, I just want to bring it back to my belief, and I think you share this belief in the conversations that we've had, is I also do believe that there is a wholeness already that pre-exists within us.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a student of A Course in Miracles, which many people have heard of, and what The Course in Miracles tells us, you know, or reminds us of, is that who we are is how we were created by a creator, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they do use the word God, if you don't like the word God, then the universe, the source, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a part of us that pre-exists, that's already whole, is already complete. And our resistance, in a way, is just our ego's way of keeping us asleep to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what, for me, is also so liberating is that I don't have to create myself. It's already created. And the more that I can clear my resistance, and this is why I love your work so much, you know, since we met last year in London, and I've been using your process, this and stuff, right? I feel like I've accelerated my process of clearing my stuff, which sometimes is very uncomfortable. But the more I clear my stuff, the more I feel my wholeness kind of merging into my own consciousness, my own sense of okayness, my own sense of being an okay being, you know, lovable and worthy and all those good things. But I realize, in a way, it's always been there. It's just been masked by all my fears and resistances.
Well, we're 100% in agreement on that. And that, you know, part of what I teach and I believe is that every person on the planet is this magnificent, beautiful, powerful, spiritual being. In that, for whatever reasons, we're participating in a reality where it seems to be important that we not know that for a while, and then the opportunity is to wake up to that.
Yeah, and we're on this holy adventure of pretending we're not who we are. and there's a lot of people now waking up to who they are. And, you know, I think it's such, on one level, it's such an exciting time to be here. And I think we all signed up for this in a way. It's like this is the great holy adventure to realize we're not these separate, you know, fearful, guilty, sinful beings, that we're incredible, powerful children of God.
Exactly, and that for some reason, this not knowing who we are is part of our journey. And that there's this incredible opportunity that's more and more available to people as the whole consciousness is changing to start going, wait a minute, I'm a lot more than what my ego thought I was.
Yeah, You know, I don't know if you've heard of a guy called Robert Holden. I think I've mentioned him to you.
Yes,
a friend of mine, and you know, he's been on the Oprah show. He's a British guy. But, you know, he's written 11 books, I think. And you know, one of his lovely expressions, he shared with us on a workshop that I went on with him a couple of months ago, and it just struck such a chord for me. He said, you know, right at the end of this 3-day workshop, he said, "And please take this away and tell yourself this every day: love is here because I am here."
Mm.
And you know, most when we are coming from our ego consciousness, we are searching for love, and you know, for most of us, we know that can be a pretty fruitless search some of the time. You know, just leads us to all sorts of cul-de-sacs and disappointments. and I think the real thing to remember is that we are already what we're really looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The love we seek is the love that we are. And the power that we seek is the power that we are, and the peace that we seek is the peace that we are. But our ego will have us looking in all these silly places, and it's all disappointed and tenderly and despairing and all those good things. And it's just awakening to realizing that everything we're looking for is what we already are and who we already are.
That's wonderful. The other thing I take from that quote of Robert, that am I saying it correctly, that love is here. How did you say it again?
Well, he says, you know, love is here because you are here. You know, it's like you are love, so therefore, you know, it's here because you're here. You may not realize it. You may have forgotten that you're love, but you are love. That's how you were created.
Well, and another aspect of that really appeals to me is the idea then that so many of the people that work with you and work with me are people that really care about making a contribution to the world. Mm. And when you realize that by your presence, you're already making a contribution, it shifts everything. And it doesn't mean that you don't do other things and more tangible things. But realizing that you can't help, that if you're coming from that place, you can't help but be a contribution to wherever you are. And that everything you do on top of that is just so much the better.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when my experience of, you know, people as they awaken more and more is that they tend to slow down as well. You know, in my early years, I used to bust a gut, you know, going to every talk that I could give and traveling around the world and, you know, to be honest, almost burning out at times. But I know in retrospect now it's because I was coming from such a sense of lack and believing, you know, I wasn't full and I needed to get stuff from the world to feel full up. And I think more and more, I suppose the shift is, you know, the ego is always seeking. And I think, you know, one of my mantras I think the ego follows is seek but don't find. You know, how many people we've met who says, you know, I've been on a spiritual path, I've been seeking for 20 years. And you go, well, what have you found?
Right.
Not sure. Because I think the ego wants to keep you seeking, but it doesn't want you to find the treasure. So for me, it's that's the kind of shift from seeking love to being love.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And, you know, I think that's why so many, you know, relationships fall apart, because we go into a relationship and we're seeking love. You know, tell me that I'm better than I think I am. You know, we always want our partner to tell us that we're better than we really think we are ourselves. And as we can do our own healing and deal with the stuff, you know, we realize that actually the source of love is within us, and that the more we're able to be love and spread love, that actually the more we'll get loved. But it's almost like, well, we don't need it then, because we're doing it anyway.
That's great. And are there any... So what you've been saying already is, I think, extremely helpful for people on the subject of resistance. In your book, do you also talk about other ways that people can work with or heal or change the resistance in them?
Yeah, you know, I think like you probably, I'm a great believer that number one is awareness, although I know a lot of your work, you know, in a way you don't even have to be aware of what the blocks are to heal them. But certainly for me, I find number one is just being aware of what resistance is and how it operates. To me, it began to be very liberating just to go, there isn't anything wrong with me, this is just part of the software of being human. So number one is awareness, and for me, you know, the second thing then is awareness opens up choice. So with awareness comes choice. Okay, you know, now I'm aware of how I do my resistance, I can choose to do something else. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm beyond resistance, I still have resistance, but I kind of joke now and say that, you know, I still resist, but I resist with awareness. I know I'm doing it, but I still do it. but I usually get through it quicker now because I'm aware.